It's a blessing to be here. Didn't know that I was, how things are going to turn out a lot of times. I've got a few things on my mind, though. I turn to Luke chapter 23. In verse 23, "And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never gave suck, or the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" I want to focus some of my thoughts about what they did to the green tree. He's talking about himself. He's talking about him that is alive. He wept over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, had thou known, even in this thy day, the things which belongeth to thy peace." Talking about himself. Talking about him as being God manifest in the flesh. The promised Messiah was here. They did not recognize the things that belong to their peace. And the things that they did to Jesus as a green tree. You know, what's a green tree opposed to a dry one? A green tree is a lively one. A green tree is one that is flourishing and bearing fruit and beautiful with the beautiful leaves and the fruit on it. But what is a dry tree? It's a fruitless, dead looking, at least. You know, Jesus told them, he said, the children of the bride chamber can't fast, or don't fast, as long as the bridegroom is here, is with them. He said, but there's coming a day when the bridegroom is not here and they're going to fast in those days. And do you know the immediate fulfillment of this dry tree was when Titus's army, the Roman army, came in and besieged Jerusalem for a long time. And then they really did. If you don't know about that, you can go read about the siege at Jerusalem in 70 AD. And it's horrible things. But you know what? I don't think that's the only dry Jesus was talking about. Do you know when Jesus was here, He says, if they did these things unto Me, they're going to do them unto you. But what did they do to Jesus? You know, He says in John, He says, don't you worry about it. These things I've spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, Jesus can talk about something in the future like it had already happened in the past. Why is that? It's because He's God. He's declared the end from the beginning, did He not? He's the author and the finisher. He can talk about something being finished before it is. Now, Jesus says that He says, I've overcome the world, but that's before He had died on the cross. And let me tell you what men did to the green tree. What did men do to the green tree? You know, when they came there in that account where they laid the cross on Joseph of Arimathea. What did men do? They began to mock Him, didn't they? Man spit on Jesus. That's what man did. What did God do? God anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His fellows. You see what man did and what God did? Now, let's talk about some other things that man did and then what God did. Man, what he did, he smote Him with their hands. That's what men did. They smote Him with their hands. But what did God do? He set Him on His right hand. Didn't He do that? He set Him on His right hand. What else did man do? Man took Jesus and they gave a reed in His hand. You know, denoting that, you know, the kings would always have a scepter in their hand or some kind of staff that they would hold out and show grace to people. And they took a reed, something that they cut down, and they put a reed in His hand and they mocked Him saying, Hail, King of the Jews. You know? And then, but what did God do? They gave Him a scepter. He says, thy throne, God said. That's what man did. But God said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Man gave Him a reed. God gave Him a scepter of righteousness. I tell you, there's some other things that man did to Him too. You know what they did? They planted a crown of thorns on His head, mocking Him. Amen. But God, what did He crown Him with? He crowned Him with righteousness and glory. Amen. And honor. Amen. That's what man did. Man did everything that he could to mock Him and to disgrace Him and to do away with Him. But that's not all that man did. Let's look at it, something else that man did. They smote Him on the head with that reed, driving the thorns deep into His flesh. But in Revelation 19 and 15 it says, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And you know what else they did? Man put a purple robe on Him, but what did God give Him? He says in that next verse, and Pilate wrote a sign that said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. That's what man called Him. Now Pilate was doing the best he knew how, I guess.
Pilate, I think he was such a conflicted man, and he was doing the best that he knew how, and he said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," because he asked him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Now, Pilate said, "This is King of the Jews." But God clothed him with a vesture. Let's read about that, what that says. And then next verse in Revelation 19, 16 says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written." See, that's what they said. They said, you know, "What's your name?" And he says, you know what was written on there? Man, Pilate said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." But this name that God gave him said that was written on his vesture, that they put a purple robe on him, you know, mocking him as king. But God gave him a real vesture, and what was written on that vesture was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just King of the Jews, brother. He's way higher than that. That's what man said. Man don't ever attribute the glory and the honor that God deserves, that Jesus deserves. But his Father did, didn't he? He says, that's what's on his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Out of all the kings, he's the king of them. Out of all the lords, he's the lord of them. Amen. Not just the Jews. Now, they nailed him to a cross, and they raised him up as high as they could. But God raised him from the dead, didn't he? Man raised him up and did everything they could to disparage and mock him and to torture him. And Jesus gladly took it on. But God raised him from the dead. And you know something else? Man said, "If thou be the Son of God," if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. "If thou be the Christ, come down and save thyself and us." And he says, they said, "If thou be the Son of God." But what did God say? God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God said, "This is my Son." Man said a lot of stuff, didn't he, that God fixed up. There's a lot of stuff in this. It don't matter what man says most time, does it? You know, man judged Christ worthy of death, didn't he? And that's what man did. Made false claims. Man put him to death on their appointed day. I'll give you this last one. Acts 17 and 30. When Paul is on Mars Hill, he looks, and he, you know, where there, he says, "This unknown God who I'm telling you about," he says, "and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead." Do you know what assurance we have in that he raised Jesus from the dead? We have the assurance that he was who he said he was. But you know what? The righteous aren't the only ones that have assurance because of the resurrection of Christ. All men have that assurance. The righteous and the wicked. The righteous have it of Jesus being raised so that they be incorruptible. But the wicked have assurance as well. The assurance that the wicked have is that they will be judged. That's what that says. They will. God. See, man judged the day. Man appointed a day for Jesus to be judged unjustly, I might add. But God hath appointed a day of judgment in which the righteous judge will make the decision and hand down the sentence. Man thinks he's got it all fixed up, but he ain't got nothing fixed up. God will have the final say, won't he? He always does. He always does. Come ahead, brother.